or if there were to be gathers at all, or if one must be bereft of every seam in a style so unrelenting as to forbid the possibility of the honest and semi-penniless struggling with the problem of remodelling last season's skirt at all. As it is only quite an ordinary brown, she had murmured to herself, I might be able to buy a yard or so to match it, and I might be able to join the gore near the pleats at the back, so that it would not be seen. She quite beamed as she reached the happy conclusion. She was such a simple, normal-minded creature that it took but little to brighten the aspect of life for her and to cause her to break into her good-natured, childlike smile. A little kindness from anyone, a little pleasure, or a little comfort made her glow with nice-tempered enjoyment. As she got out of the bus and picked up her rough brown skirt, prepared to tramp bravely through the mud of Mortimer Street to her lodgings, she was positively radiant. It was not only her smile which was childlike, her face itself was childlike for a woman of her age and size. She was 34, and a well-set-up creature, with fine square shoulders and a long, small waist and good hips. She was a big woman, but carried herself well, and having solved the problem of obtaining, through marvels of energy and management, one good dress a year, wore it so well, and changed her old one so dexterously, that she always looked rather smartly dressed. She had nice round fresh cheeks, and nice big honest eyes, plenty of mouse-brown hair, and a short straight nose. She was striking, and well-bred-looking, and her plenitude of good-natured interest in everybody, and her pleasure in everything out of which pleasure could be wrested, gave her big eyes a fresh look which made her seem rather like a nice overgrown girl than a mature woman whose life was a continuous struggle with the narrowest of mean fortunes. She was a woman of good blood and of good education, as the education of such women goes. She had few relatives, and none of them had any intention of burdening themselves with her pennilessness. They were people of excellent family, but had quite enough to do to keep their sons in the army or navy and find husbands for their daughters. When Emily's mother had died, and her small annuity had died with her, none of them had wanted the care of a big, raw-boned girl, and Emily had had the situation frankly explained to her. At 18, she had begun work as assistant teacher in a small school. The year following, she had taken a place as nursery governess. Then she had been reading companion to an unpleasant old woman in Northumberland. The old woman had lived in the country, and her relations had hovered over her like vultures awaiting her decease. The household had been gloomy and gruesome enough to have driven into melancholy madness any girl not of the sanest and most matter-of-fact temperament. Emily Fox Seton had endured it with an unfailing good nature which at last had actually awakened in the breast of her mistress a ray of human feeling. When the old woman at length died and Emily was to be turned out into the world, it was revealed that she had been left a legacy of a few £100 and a letter containing some rather practical, if hardly expressed, advice.
Go back to London, Mrs. Matham had written in her feeble, crabbed hand. You are not clever enough to do anything remarkable in the way of earning your living, but you are so good-natured that you can make yourself useful to a lot of helpless creatures who will pay you a trifle for looking after them and the affairs they are too lazy or too foolish to manage for themselves. You might get on to one of the second-class fashion papers to answer ridiculous questions about housekeeping or wallpapers or freckles. You know the kind of thing I mean. You might write notes or do accounts and shopping for some lazy woman. You are a practical, honest creature, and you have good manners. I have often thought that you had just the kind of commonplace gifts that a host of commonplace people want to find at their service. An old servant of mine who lives in Mortimer Street would probably give you cheap, decent lodgings and behave well to you for my sake. She has reason to be fond of me. Tell her I sent you to her and that she must take you in for 10 shillings a week.
Emily wept for gratitude and ever afterwards enthroned old Mrs. Matham on an altar as a princely and sainted benefactor, though after she had invested